Hello again, and welcome back to the Box Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. On today's show, it's the Copyright Forum. To answer your questions, I have a great panel, always the same panel in the studio. Paul Rapp is an intellectual property lawyer and writer in the Berkshires. He represents musicians, writers, fine artists, and businesses involved in the creative economy. And soon he'll represent me suing a newspaper. He lectures widely on intellectual property issues and writes a column for Metroland. Bill Westwood, three, is one of the country's leading medical illustrators. I'm going to change that too. He is the leading medical illustrator in the country and a professional member and past president of the Association of Medical Illustrators, which must tell you something, because when you're the head medical illustrator, you know, you got a lot going for you. And Polly Law, in order and order, is an artist and illustrator. She runs an art studio and maintains a website at buttonwoodart.com. That's buttonwoodart.com. So now it's up to you. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551, or do it the way I would do it, which is to write us an email at voxpop at wamc.org. So my question to all of you is this. You got a poem that you think somebody stole, or do you know how to register some intellectual thing that you've come up with, or, you know, all of those things. This is the time to do it, because we've got these great people here, and they know what they're talking about. And so we hope you will. Each of you can say one very short thing. Go ahead. Bill, you first.
You say, hello.
One very short thing.
One very short thing. Okay.
Yeah, so you say, okay.
That's it.
Yeah.
Last week I addressed the Alliance for Community Media, which is the people that run all the local access TV shows and the stations. And they didn't make me sit on a plaid couch next to a plastic plant in front of a shower curtain. I was happy about that.
Well, did anybody know your work from this station?
No, I don't think so.
That's too bad.
This was all TV. There was no radio guys. It was all community TV.
Okay. And you, Polly Law?
Well, I just wanted to say that I am... like Bill, I am the past president of an artist rights organization, the Graphic Artists Guild.
The what artist guild?
The Graphic Artists Guild.
Yay.
Graphic. Very graphic.
Gag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
Gag.
Good. Okay, so we'll start taking calls. 1-800-348-2551. Okay, so it's Matt in Robbinsville. Okay, Matt in Robbinsville, you're on.
Hi. Love the program. Love the station. Longtime member.
Great.
My question is, do I need permission of a not-for-profit organization that I reference in the beginning of one of my songs for the publishing of the song? It's incidental, and it's in the front, but it's a nationally known name.
Well, what does the line say? You can tell us, can't you?
What's the organization?
Salvation Army.
No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't need permission just to mention them.
Mention their name? I reference it in a jingle. That is a, you know, open jingle. Everybody hears it. And then I have the real song, only 8 bars in the front. And I was always wondering if I needed their permission.
No, it's your First Amendment right to, you know, talk about them and sing about them.
Did you write the jingle?
I did not. It was a jingle that children sing in the streets that, you know, you've always heard that when you hear the Salvation Army. Da 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 da.
Oh, I see. It's folk
public
music
domain.
Almost.
Yeah, public domain, and it's folk music. Yeah.
Okay.
Bill Westwood, anything on that?
Nope.
Okay.
And
go ahead, Matt.
I had a second quick question, Alan.
Yeah.
If I change the title of the song, do I need to refile for the copyright when I publish it?
Interesting question.
I don't think so.
Can't you? You can amend it.
You can put it in an amended.
I could amend. So I have the original copyright and the approval some years ago. Mm-hmm. And there's an amendment. I didn't realize that. Okay, I can figure that out.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I don't think that's required. You're not going to lose your copyright, your registration by changing the name.
Yeah, because you can't register titles anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
A different publisher?
Doesn't matter who publishes it.
Yeah.
Okay, because, you know, my wife wrote a book that the first printing was 50,000 copies. The Holocaust Year Society on Trial, and years later, they put out a hardcover edition, you know, of it. And that's why the question piqued my interest also. So, interesting.
Can I squeeze a quick final one?
A third question? There are four people behind you. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll be quick. I file original copyrights for original songs one-on-one, and then I realized I can file a compilation of songs, which was a lot less expensive.
Yes.
Do I get the same protection if I put, you know, like 10 songs on compilation number one, or do I have to do them individually?
If they are all unpublished, you will get individual protection for each one. I believe if you register a published collection of songs, like an album, and give it one name, that's only going to be considered one work.
I see.
So you have to keep it intact.
Yeah.
Okay, Matt, you're done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Kristen in Saugerties. Kristen, you're on.
Hi, I just had a question. I have an idea for an invention and what I wanted to call it. I Googled the name and nothing showed up, so I was happy. Then a few weeks later, I Googled it again, and it showed up that some domain owned the name. I was just wondering, are there companies that specifically go out there and target searches online for things?
Yes.
Wait. So I want to get this question straight. So Kristen is asking, I think, that since she Googled it, whether somebody stole her Google request and put it in themselves. Is that what you're saying, Kristen?
Right. And then there's on the website, it said you could buy this name for such and such a price. So I was just wondering if there are companies that, like, target web searches.
They do that, especially if you go to, like, one of the registration sites for registering new domain names. And
right.
if you don't jump at the chance the minute you see that topsyturvy.com is open, next time you go back, you can bet your bottom dollar that topsyturvy.com will have been snapped up by someone.
But I'm not sure that your Google searches are visible to third parties. I mean, they're only visible to law enforcement when you have a warrant, you know, a search warrant. So I don't know if somebody can sort of, you know, observe you doing searches and see that you've done a name, and then they'll run and get the domain. I'm wondering if on your first search it just didn't come up, because there's an awful lot of parked domains. You come up with a fancy name and chances are somebody's registered it, whether they're using it or not. So
you're better off going to one of the registration sites.
Also, Kristen, you said something about patenting something in the beginning.
Well, I was looking to see if the name had been used for anything else. And then when I had checked again a week or so later, you know, there was a website that popped up with that name that
Okay, but that's different than patenting an invention.
Right, I wasn't talking about patenting.
Okay.
She was using it in a generic sort of sense.
Yeah.
Okay, Kristen, thank you for your wonderful call. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Good luck.
Okay. 1-800-348-2551. Bart in Port Ewing. Okay, Bob, you're on.
How you doing, gentlemen? Thanks very much for taking my call. I've got a question about trademarks. I've got a couple of patents pending, and I want to get a couple of trademarks. How do I go about it?
Trademarks you register through the Patent and Trademark Office. It's USPTO.org. I recommend, I have clients that have done it themselves, but I have many more clients that have tried to do it themselves and screwed up and come to me to try to rescue the registration. You know, it's not rocket science, but there's, you know, a couple of sort of tricky areas in registering a trademark that you should know about. So unless you're really confident that you can do it, I'd recommend finding an attorney.
So can you give us an idea, a counselor, about such a, one of the tricky places that people screw up on?
Describing your good or service, or putting it in the right category. Sometimes giving them a correct specimen, an example of the mark being used in commerce, which you have to show them that you're actually using it before they'll grant the trademark. But I've had people come to me with just completely screwed up attempts at registration where the examiner at the Patent and Trademark Office is demanding more information, and the people just don't know how to respond.
Paul, which is more difficult to get, a trademark? This is probably a dumb question. A trademark or a patent? Patents are harder, right?
Patents are harder,
and,
yeah.
And also much more expensive.
Yeah.
Now, do you have logos designed to go with these things that you're patenting, or
do I have what?
Do you have logos designed for these things? I mean, because that's what you would trademark. You would not trademark what the object that you're patenting.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm interested in trademarking the name.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Bob, we're up against it here, against the break, so we thank you for your call. A good question. I'm sure a lot of people benefited from it. Thanks.
Well, should I go through my patent attorney for this?
Yeah, most patent attorneys... know how to do trademarks. They consider it sort of the poor stepson of patent. That's how patent lawyers are.
Thanks again. Bye. Okay, so that's how patent lawyers are. I like it.
I always got to get a dig in my patent lawyer friends
because you do it. Okay, so we're about to take a break and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from 10,000 Villages, offering home decor and handcrafted gifts with locations in Albany, Burlington, Northampton, New Haven, New Canaan, South Windsor, and West Hartford. 10,000villages.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Fulton Landing, New York. Working to permanently preserve the natural, scenic, and recreational resources of the Lake George region since 1988. LGLC.org. And the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Winslow Homer, The Nature and Rhythm of Life, through January 4th, 2015, arkellmuseum.org. And Curtis Lumber, proudly serving their communities for over 100 years, providing lumber, building materials, doors, windows, paint, and more, 21 locations in New York and Northern Vermont, curtislumber.com.
And we are here. See, Polly, you got to watch that light up there, you see, because if you don't watch that light, you might say something would cost us $350,000.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Stephen in Middletown. Okay, Stephen, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. My situation is I actually have final product with a full utility patent, but I dealt with an intellectual properties manager for a year, and he kept steering me to like alternative uses, in and out. And long story short, I wound up going through the plethora of disingenuous, you know, inventor helper companies that try to sell you everything under the sun and don't actually help you get a licensing agreement with an appropriate company. So, you know, I can't find an intellectual properties manager, is really, and it's not for a lack of looking. Maybe I was hoping you could help me with that.
Well, I don't know if you need one. I think if you've got a design patent, you target the companies that you think would want to license it and try to set up a meeting.
But suppose he doesn't want to do that. He wants.
No, I want to do that. I want to do that. Very much so.
I've done what he did, Alan, and it cost a lot of money. And like him, I was almost totally unsuccessful at finding any help. We did much better searching for somebody who would be interested in the patent on our own.
So who's the we in your case?
A physician that helped me develop this product.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you want him to be, but suppose, just for the heck of it, it's not Stephen who obviously has this capacity, but somebody who is not a good salesperson or somebody who doesn't really have the sort of vim and vigor to go and do all of that. Is there, I mean, I take it that this is sort of akin to having an agent on a book?
Yeah.
I think that's a reasonable analogy. The difference is the agent seems to want to do this because he or she is going to get something from it. My limited experience with these individuals that are caller has described is the same as his. They come up with three or four names, which they seem to get out of the air, and you know, you're on your own anyway, and most of these people have marginal interest in what you've patented anyway.
Yeah. So here on the Vox Pop, as we're talking along, we take a lot of different questions. Are you satisfied with yours, Stephen?
Well, I mean, those are interesting answers, and I appreciate the encouragement to go ahead after it on my own. I thought that was something that generally wasn't done. But I'd be happy to overpay an intellectual properties manager at this point for getting me a deal, especially since I got robbed by customs.
But, Paul, as an intellectual property lawyer, which you are, aren't you in touch with these sorts?
I'm not, because I'm not a patent lawyer. You know, if you were a singer-songwriter, I might be able to help you. But I would contact a local patent firm, you know, the bigger the better, I think, in this case, and find out, you know, A, if they have somebody there that would do this for you, or B, if they have relationships with people who could.
And tell them Paul
sent you. It's interesting that you say big, because my company is intimidatingly big. They, you know, they're not interested in the commercial end of an invention like mine. They're dealing overseas with huge corporations and stuff.
What do you mean when you say my company?
Your employer?
My lawyer who got me the patent, I'm basically done with. You know, he got it for me, so we're done.
Yeah. Well, I just don't, you know, I don't think that he's, most patent attorneys that I've dealt with, and admittedly it's a relatively small group, just aren't interested in pursuing that. There may be someone out there who is.
Yeah, I mean, and
but,
I think a lot of patent firms would have relationships.
But if it were me going back through this again,
you'd do it yourself.
I would simply do it myself.
Yeah.
But I also have run a business for 40 years, and I know a lot about finding
sales.
People and talking to people and selling myself. Mm-hmm. I think that's what you've got to do.
Why don't you have Bill do it for you?
Yeah, that is not my strong suit.
That's exactly the point. You know, we have a woman here, Deborah Saglambeni. I don't know how many of you know her, but she is an incredible saleswoman in terms of our underwriting program. I couldn't begin to do what she wanted to do. I sold the ads for the Fire Island Sun one summer, and I always felt like I was begging. It was terrible.
Yeah, some people can do it and some people can't.
Yeah,
Maybe just advertise for a general business agent.
That's
instead
a good
of
idea.
A patent agent.
Yeah,
you can train them in
well,
the particulars.
A general business agent?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been looking for intellectual property managers, but they're like hen's teeth.
Yeah, and it may be, Polly may be right. You know, maybe what you need is someone who, once they understand your patent and the use of the patent, can go out and contact potential buyers of that product or users.
Right.
I don't know which way you're going with it, whether you're going to license it or sell it, and you know, approach it from that direction. But much as I, as a business person, might hire a salesperson, or Alan and the station might hire a salesperson to... To sell their service, their product, or whatever.
But I think Stephen's point is that he knows his own limitations, and I have great respect for that. I think that's terrific. Stephen, got to go. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Yeah, good luck.
Okay, now to Bob in Clifton Park. You're on, Bob.
Good afternoon. I'm involved with a nonprofit organization, which back in 1999 had a contest, and a member designed a logo, which the organization has been using ever since. We'd like to protect that logo. Copyright instead of trademark, I assume?
No, trademark.
Trademark?
Yeah. I mean, you might be able to get a copyright for it, depending on how elaborate the logo is, but...
We're talking about a visual design.
If it's an image, then you could get a copyright as well as... But you'd still need to trademark it to protect it.
I think you would.
Yeah. Do you have a signed form from the person who designed this logo?
No, I have emails saying that they would be delighted to transfer any rights that they might have to the organization.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as you have some kind of a electronic or paper trail.
Yeah, but that this is a classic trademark application here.
Should okay. be trademark.
Okay, question asked, question answered. Thank you
Thank
very
you.
Much, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-800-348-25. Did I do something wrong?
No.
I guess we should just explain that, you know, copyright covers creative works like songs and poems and paintings, and trademarks protect commercial names.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes.
And patents protect
useful objects,
useful inventions,
mm-hmm. as well as actors, generals in the army.
mm-hmm.
Let's go to Miriam in Troy. Okay, Miriam, you're on.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me all right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. I've written a song appropriate for preschoolers. I'd like to see them use it on Sesame Street. It's, you know, if I say yes, you say no. If I say stop, you say go. And I'm using a recording expert to provide me with a video that will illustrate this for marketing. It's also, I have included photos with the song that illustrate each of the concepts in American Sign Language. So it's useful in different venues. But my question is, how do I retain rights, and how does the person that is going to create the video for me, what kind of rights would they have?
You have to get a waiver from them saying that you own, well, first off, you have to register it, your
yeah.
song.
Registered,
yeah.
not copyright.
Yeah, no, you're copyrighted once you've created it, the song.
Yeah, and you probably want to register the copyright, though.
But you want
register
to
register it with the copyright. There's a website or something.
Copyright.gov.
Yep.
Thank you. Okay.
Yep, and then when it comes time to produce the video, you need to get waivers from everyone concerned stating that you own this video.
Right.
And that they're working for you, basically.
Yeah. So whatever interest they have, they assign all their interests in the video to you, because the singer, you know, conceivably could claim that she owned her performance, her recorded performance.
Sorry.
The videographer could claim he owns the video, the visual aspects of it, because he was instrumental in creating it. But you want to own everything.
Well, the singer and the creator are one.
Okay.
Okay. I would also say, though, that in a parallel to the children's book publishing industry, generally, the end buyers of these kinds of things don't necessarily want a completed package.
I didn't think so. I wanted it just to demonstrate.
Yeah, this is a demo. Clearly a demo, so, you know, you don't have to worry too much that this recording is going to become a hit, because that's not what it's for. I mean, if you pitch it to a children's show, they'll certainly incorporate their own recording of your song into their show.
And their own visuals to go with
right.
it.
Right.
Yes, yes. Well, that's
well,
understood.
Miriam,
what happens if I put it on YouTube?
All hell breaks
don't
loose.
Don't put it on YouTube until you've registered it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, once you've registered.
Do I have to get waivers from the photos that I've taken?
Yeah. Oh. If you've taken them? What,
yes.
Are they like ponies?
They're of children.
You probably should have gotten model releases from the children.
Or their parents.
Or their parents.
Model releases.
Yeah, from the parents of the children. Children can't sign contracts.
Miriam, gotta go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye. Thank you.
Now we're down to one blinking phone, but before we do, there's a new comment posted on WAMC. While Google searches might be protected, there are people who troll whose domain name queries for domain names of interest. Okay,
yeah.
And that's from Michael.
That's basically what happened.
Yeah.
Trollers. You know, trollers.
Holly was right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, let's go.
Trollers are out there.
1-800-348-2551. After this call, there's no call. So if you want to be on the air, this is the time to do it. All right. Let's go to John and Schoharie. Okay. John and Schoharie, you're on.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is for Paul Rapp. And I assume you can hear me.
Yep.
My question is, what are my options if a photograph of mine has been used in a commercial county tourism brochure without my acknowledgement, permission, or even knowledge.
You know, a licensing fee would certainly be in order. And I think what you should do immediately, if you haven't already, is register the copyright, because if push comes to shove, registering a copyright is a prerequisite to going to court. And so, you know, if it does come to that, and hopefully it doesn't, and it shouldn't, you know, I think you'd want the registration.
You need that protection.
And of course, yeah, you got to value this. In other words,
right.
What are you looking for?
Yeah, and go to copyright.gov.
Yeah,
I'm
yep.
guessing. I think you've answered my question. It could be possibly settled out of court, but.
What if? Here's a what if question. What if they have already copyrighted your work?
They don't have permission to use it.
They can't do that.
Yeah, they've committed fraud on the Copyright Office, basically.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It gets worse and worse.
Yeah, the problem here, if the work isn't registered prior to the infringement, is you lose most of your leverage in terms of getting these people to come to the table to negotiate.
Sure. So your advice is
register it.
Well, but I'm saying it wasn't registered prior to the infringement.
The infringement. So, yeah.
So, John, you're bad.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. it just makes it more difficult. Actually, Paul has helped me in cases like this to actually get money, get people to pay for their infringements. But it is much, much more difficult to do this. If the work wasn't, because
and in your case, was it registered before Paul helped you?
In the particular case he helped me with, it was not registered. But Paul is very persuasive. So
yes, he is. We all know that. Okay.
Could Paul possibly give me his email over the?
Yeah,
we'll
do
radio
it. Well, we don't want to be unfair. So I'm going to let everybody give you their email right now. Everybody, get a pencil and a paper.
It's also on the website.
And it's on the website at wamc.org. Okay.
Okay.
And just go to copyright form. Okay, John. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay. Yeah. For some reason, all five phones are ringing now. Of course.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Because I'm good at my job. Oh, yes. Okay. Now.
Is this spillover from the?
Yeah. Right. Now let's go to Karen in Monterey, Massachusetts. Okay, Karen, you're up.
Hi there. So I would like to know once and for all, what's the difference between what protects you with a trademark versus a copyright? And then my second comment to the gentleman who was calling about helping be introduced to distributors and licensors is we've had great success with both the Small Business Administration that have both federal and state offices, and as well we have an export that we're working on. The trade offices and the different embassies are great at introducing us to potential distributors. So I would definitely encourage everybody to look at those resources.
That's great, because the Small Business Administration has the mentoring program where they have retired businessmen with, like, you know, exquisite resumes that volunteer to help small businesses. And so maybe that would be a place to look.
They have full staff that are just set up ready for you to ready for them to help, especially with exports. I mean, we're only dealing with exports, so. But trademark versus copyright, what's the final word? What are the differences?
Basically, as Bill said earlier, copyright covers works of creative
originality.
songs, artwork, illustrations, photographs, poems.
But not a logo.
It falls under
trademark.
Yeah. If a logo is elaborate enough, you might be able to register it as a piece of two-dimensional art, like you would register a painting.
Register a copyright.
That copyright would be for a script, yes. And for a logo representing a trade, a business, a source of goods or services is what a trademark.
A trademark identifies the product and or the company that produces the product.
A trademark.
Packaging included?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so sorry, Karen, but we got to move on.
That's good. That's
running out of time.
That's all I needed. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. Okay.
But
that
trade dress also comes
only one free phone, believe it or not. Hey, listen up here. That leaves us with only one free phone. Okay. We are going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Lori Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond, StillwellCPA.com. The Center for Extended Care on University Drive in Amherst, a family-owned and operated nursing center offering rehab, long-term care, and Alzheimer's specialty care, CECAA.com. HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting the musical The Addams Family, weekends through October 26th at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. And Water Furnace, partnering with Green Hill Contracting in New Paltz by providing energy-efficient geothermal heat pumps to their net zero homes, zeronetnow.com.
Here we are, back again. This is the most unruly group of panelists I've ever seen. They want to talk. Sometimes I have to caution them. We're on the air, you know, just calm down. Okay, so here we are, and let's go to Jane in Saratoga. Jane in Saratoga, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you today?
Is that Jane?
Yes.
Okay.
Jane, B-A-N-E. Sorry. I was just calling to say the woman called in about the Sesame Street song idea. I think she stole lyrics from the Beatles.
Hello, goodbye.
Yeah, you say goodbye, I say hello.
Well,
you say stop, I say go. Yeah. Well, that was it. I love the show. I want to
cool, Kane. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Well, bye. Short phrases, you know, you can take, and so you know, how many songs rhyme, you know, moon and June, but
too many.
But you know, but when she said that, a little bell went off in my head, and that guy made the connection.
But that does raise an interesting question, as you know, the very vortex of our radio station here is 1-800, 323-9262. Could you copyright a phone number?
No.
Because that's just blank. That's just information. It's not a created.
You can't copyright names. You can't copyright
titles.
Data.
But we have a song. 1-800-323-9262. Now, couldn't you copyright the song?
If it wasn't Camptown Ladies, yes.
And by the way, I'm an attorney representing
the Stephen Foster.
That's great.
Estate.
Thank you very much. All right. Here we go. Let's go to number four, which is Ralph in Franklin County. Ralph, you're on.
Hi, thanks. I'm in a choral group that will be producing a recording that'll be sold at concerts and to anyone who's interested, and also may get some radio airplay, and I have no idea if it might take off and get distribution. I pay to be in this choral group. My question is, should we be getting royalties if this thing takes off?
Do you have any kind of a written agreement with the choral group?
None at all.
That needs to be clarified.
Yeah. I mean, it probably is implied that the money goes to the choral group and used to support choral group activities. I mean, however, if you wind up, you know, getting a Ford commercial, or a movie placement, there's going to be a lot of money in it. At that point, I would think it makes sense to spread it around the singing group, who are I imagine volunteers. They pay to be in it. Yeah. So there probably should be some kind of agreement.
Have you raised it there yet, Ralph?
I have not. I brought it up to a very few choral members, but we haven't spoken haven't spoken to the leader about it.
So you're a bit of a troublemaker.
So you pay the leader of this group, or is he also the business manager for the group?
From that point of view, it's a small operation. It's not a nonprofit organization.
Right.
Yeah. you're going to be better off bringing this up sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
You want to settle this before anything happens, because trust me, if this recording took off, it's going to be much more difficult at that point. Different people are going to be claiming ownership of different things, and so now's the time to work all of this out.
As Groucho Marx said, money comes in, you end up.
I can imagine that.
Yeah, say it again, Paul.
I mean, I can imagine that we may be told, sorry, no royalties, no matter what happens, and if you don't, you know, agree to that, you can't be in the recording. I mean, I imagine that's been his rights, I suppose.
Yeah, well, Ralph, do you remember the last time a local choral group, which you pay to get into, had a Coca-Cola commercial?
Stranger things have happened.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't have time. We could go into stories, but I just think, you know, if you have enough people in the group who come forward and everyone demands it, that would give you the leverage potentially to get an agreement of some sort.
Do you guys know that every band that has ever existed has ended in what we call a band fight?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You bet.
Yeah, a band fight.
Yep.
So this looks like a choral fight to me.
Yep.
But better to get the agreements done before there's real money on the table, because everybody's perspective just goes haywire when that happens.
If it gets to the point where we have enough people in the choir that want to do this, so to go through an entertainment attorney? Or do you think just a simple few words saying...
I would start with the low-key approach, you know, organize your friends in the group, get a consensus, and then just sit down and talk to this guy. If he is going to be so stubborn about it, I mean, do you want to continue singing with this guy if it comes down to lawyers getting involved?
Well, he paid to get in the group.
Well,
I take a different position.
He ought to get his money back then.
You guys are much more sympathetic to this than I am.
Well, no. I think Polly's right. Get everyone to agree in principle, then go out and hire an attorney to put together a simple agreement that call Paul, you know, that covers the various aspects of what needs to be covered.
Is this all original music, or are you doing...
No, it's not. And he is going through the procedures to get the rights, to put it on our recording.
Yeah, the mechanical licenses.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, the group is in disagreement. The three professionals are for you. And I'm not, so...
But, you know, it'd be horrible for an ongoing choral organization to become splintered just because they've decided to make a recording.
There's always somebody who's going to try to think of, you know, let's see, you know, down the road, 100 miles. Obviously, he paid the money to get in so he could enjoy himself and sing, right? Isn't that right, Ralph?
No. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, you can drive yourself crazy with this stuff.
You could also form your own group where no one has to pay to sing.
But Alan, just coming from the perspective of a creator, you know, fair is fair. And if you've got people contributing to a creative end product, then and if something happens to that and it becomes valuable, then everyone ought to share in that. Everyone had a part in making it successful.
Well, my other thing.
No.
Well, the other way to look at it is, here's this guy. He puts together this chorus. Everybody wants to be in it. They want to sing. He goes and does all the work. He gets the copyrights. He does the thing.
Yeah.
He goes home. He says to his daughter, guess what they're doing to me? Boy, they're killing me.
That's right.
You know, and I did all this work, and, you know, and now they want to be greedy with me.
Yeah, now they want to have to stop paying for the privilege of being ripped off.
I don't agree with that at all. Of course, my brother runs it. No, I'm just making that up. Ralph, great question. You really stimulated the group.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Okay, let's go to Bob in Troy. Okay, Bob, you're on.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question about some patents or potential patents. About 8 years ago, I was employed by a company that had been ceased to exist. I do not believe it was truly wound up properly, but it's no longer in existence. I, of course, signed over all my intellectual property rights as a founder and shareholder of that corporation and an employee. However, I spent quality time filling out patent applications, which I believe were never filed. what are my rights associated with those that intellectual property today? Should I just file for those patents?
Okay, now, Bob, I have to tell you, you sound like you're broadcasting or phoning us from under the Hudson River. So we're having a little trouble hearing you. Does anybody understand the question thus far?
I think so. Your company went under, and
there are some orphan patent applications
even if a corporation goes under, the corporation frequently will still continue to exist. So you got to be very careful.
That corporation was abandoned.
Okay.
Well, I think what you probably could do is to get the last board of directors of the corporation, or the last officers that had any kind of authority to do something, and transfer these patents back to you. And then file that with the Patent and Trademark Office.
But he said there were a number of patent applications that were never filed.
He thinks.
Oh, that were never filed.
Yeah, they don't show up in a search of the patent office.
How many years has it been?
8.
Did you say 8?
Correct.
I think go ahead and file. If they never, you know, if there's no there, there's nobody to complain.
Yeah, I would work with a patent attorney.
Yeah. Yeah.
And get them to file. They could do a patent search to find out if they've been filed.
Yeah.
Okay, we're running out of time here, Bob. Next time, don't call from under the river, okay? talk to you later. Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay, so dear Vox, I love this email. Dear Vox. You don't have to go any further than that.
Mr. Pop.
I've applied to register my company's trademark logo and name with the Trademark Office in separate applications. Both are currently published for opposition. I have no idea what that means. I'm sure you guys do. I've decided to combine the logo and name into a company insignia. Should trademark the insignia comprised of the combined trademark elements as well as the individual elements? Thanks for your comments. First name only on the air, please, and that's from Michael.
I would have to look at it, but it sounds like you've come up with a new mark,
right?
Basically, that incorporates elements of your existing marks, and you probably should get
a separate registration.
Yeah, because you're going to be doing business with that mark, and it's got to be what's currently being used. Right?
And that's true. And if you're not using the marks that are out for publication right now, if you're not using them anymore, you know, I think you should probably put in a new application.
Okay. The great thing about when they do it on, you know, and they write to us on, you know, at voxpop@wamc.org is that we don't have to, you know, argue with them. Okay. So let's go to Katie in Lenox. Katie, you're on.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a unique method of teaching, and it's regarding a sport. I have a logo with it, which has been trademarked. But my question is this I have intellectual property. Do I copyright it? Do I license it? How do I protect it?
When you developed this, were you an employee of a school system?
It has nothing to do with schools.
Okay.
This is my own company.
So what is the product? What is the product
is the method of teaching golf.
Okay. Ah. I mean, methods are not protectable by any intellectual property regime. What you can protect is the expression of your method. If you have a book talking about, you know, this method, this kind of golf instruction, pamphlets or videos,
or photos or illustrations, you know, and text.
You know, those are expressions of your method, but the method itself won't be protected.
Could she patent it? But only if it's really very different from what's out there.
Yeah. I doubt it.
Katie,
it's really very different.
Well, yeah, and that, but it's still a method. So I would be very doubtful. And I get this all the time from folks in the Berkshires that work at the various spas and have their own methods for yoga, for relaxation, for this and that. And it's always this issue. But you know, no, you can't. You can brand it, and you've already done that. And, you know, if this method becomes known by your brand, that will, you know, give you certain benefits. But the method itself, I don't think you can protect
it. Yeah, I think the way you would protect it is just what Paul said in the beginning. You know, put it into a booklet, written form, illustrate it with illustrations, photographs, diagrams, whatever, and then that's going to give you that protection.
Okay, listen, Katie, I'm so sorry. We got a lot of people, and we got to get out of here soon.
So that's a copyright then, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you very much.
Let's go to Mary in Lee. Mary, you're on.
Hello.
Hey, Mary.
Hello.
You got to go fast. Go
ahead. Oh, hi, I'm sorry. My name is Mary Lee.
Yeah, Mary Lee. Yeah.
I'm in Hilton. And my question is, I have a little stage act, and I do this very unique series of gestures. And the gestures actually spell out words, and the audience guesses. I've been doing this like 10 years, and I've caught word now that someone else local to me is copying my gestures.
Huh.
Now, what I wonder, because it's a series of gestures, it's always the same, right? So now somebody taking that exact same unique thing, that is obviously real hurtful to me, and I'm wondering how I can protect that, if I can.
I think you probably can. Choreography and pantomime are both protectable under copyright, and so I think you would take a video of yourself and try to register it with the Copyright Office as either choreography or a pantomime. Hmm. And if they accept it, then you can stop other people from
copying
doing it.
You.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
but
interesting.
This is the copying stuff. We're the Berkshire Ramblers, my band. And I saw somebody who called himself the Berkshire Rambler the other day. There's not much you can do about it, really, I suppose.
Well, you could.
Could you?
Yeah, I
think. Okay,
I'll
come see you. Okay.
So you're saying in my case, you think I can probably, I can at least apply, and you think it's a good chance?
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Well, that's just wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Mary Lee.
Have a great day.
Okay,
good luck. Bye.
Okay, Natalie, you got to make it fast.
She had one of the greatest accents I've ever heard.
I have a feeling it's not going to be easy, Natalie, but you got to make it fast. Go ahead.
Okay. two things. I have some designs for some cards that I'm thinking of sending to a card company, and if they request for me to send in, like, photographs of those, mm-hmm. do I need to copyright them first?
You need to register the copyrights first. You can take all your designs for all the cards and gang register them for one price instead of registering each piece separately.
And where do you do that again?
www.copyright.gov.
Okay.
Copyright.gov.
Okay. Yep. Now, second question is, go ahead.
Okay. I've got a rough draft of a book written, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering if, again, if I want to use the editor of the company that I'm hoping will publish it, do I need to do that first also?
Remember, when you've created it, it's registered. It's copyrighted. What you need to do is register it before you send it out.
There are also some books of forms that artists and writers can use that you can look up in your local library, and there will be a form that you can send out with a proposal like that. That basically reminds the company to not copy the ideas.
Yeah. I mean, basically...
Okay. What is the cost for anything like this? Do you know?
The gang registration is now $55. That went
I
up
see.
In May.
Okay.
But you can do as many... If you're the sole author and they're the same medium, you can register as many pieces, unpublished pieces, as you want with one registration.
Natalie, thank you. Let's go to Dylan in Albany. Dylan, this is going to be the last call, so you've got to make it fast. Go ahead.
All right. Well, two parts. If you can answer one or the other, I'll be thankful. Basically, I'm just curious what are the key things to look for in a good patent attorney, and if any of you have found LegalZoom to be a viable option.
LegalZoom's not a
what is viable a LegalZoom? What is a LegalZoom?
It's one of those online sort of auto lawyers. But for a patent, no way. I mean, I've seen people use LegalZoom for trademarks, and it's a mess. They over-register, they overcharge. And but a patent attorney, I think, is somebody, you know, that's with a reputable firm who you get along with.
You can check the local ABA.
I think you can just Google. I just did this recently. Just Google patent attorneys in Albany and try to talk to different, go and meet with different ones and talk to them. Show them what you've got.
Yeah, make sure they don't have too much grease in their ties.
And I'm sorry, guys, that's got to be it. We are out of time. I know we're out of time. And I know there's a sheet that tells me what to say when we're out of time. Oh, yeah. We're just about out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. Apologize to those left on the line. And thanks to Polly Law, Bill Westwood, Paul Rapp for joining us today. Support for the Vox Pop comes from the Nature Conservancy's Adirondack chapter, working to protect ecologically important lands and waters of the Adirondacks for nature and people. Nature.org/Adirondacks. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years, collegestreetmotors.com, and the Montessori School of the Berkshires, working to foster independence in an experimental learning environment, rolling admissions for toddler program through 8th grade, berkshiremontessori.org, and the Chazen Company, solving the site designs, planning, regulatory compliance, and source water challenges for municipalities. Campuses and businesses, ChazenCompanies.com. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Engineer has been Zach Malloy. Thanks to Colleen O'Connell for answering the phones today. Our producers, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Alan Shartok. Hey, group, you were wonderful as always this time. I hope you'll come back again.
Invite us back, Alan.
We will.